It's one of the best-reviewed CDs of the year. Separation Sunday from the group The Hold Steady is a concept album. It's about a teenage girl in suburban Minneapolis, torn between the allure of drugs and sex and the pull of her Catholic upbringing. That story is set to pounding classic rock riffs worthy of the band's Midwestern roots. NPR's Jacob Gans reports.
Backstage at Last Call with Carson Daly, the members of The Hold Steady lounge on couches, seemingly unfazed by their first shot at network television.
Our next guests are one of the most talked about bands here in New York in years. We're happy to have them tonight. Here to perform your little hood rat friend from their new album, Separation Sunday, this is The Hold Steady, everybody.
Makes me sick. And after I get sick, I just get sad. Because it burns being broke, and it hurts to be heartbroken. Always being broke must be a drag. She's a
comedy. On stage, the musicians strike an unlikely pose for would-be rock stars. Guitarist Tad Kubler's shaggy blonde hair, tie, and a shirt tucked in at his girlfriend's request make him look something like a surfer with a court date. And then there's singer Craig Finn.
He's got kind of like a casual Friday kind of look to him.
Jessica Hopper is the editor of the magazine Hit It or Quit It and writes for the Minneapolis City Pages.
When he gets on stage, it looks like he literally just got off work like 20 minutes ago, came from downtown on the bus and just took off his tie and got on stage.
Tiny little text, matched to a nugget, said Jesus lived and died for all your sins. And she's got blue black ink and it's scratched into her lower back and it says, damn right to rise again, damn right to rise again.
Craig Finn has described The Hold Steady in song as a bar band. To hear him talk, The Hold Steady is aiming for a bar that's, well, pretty hot.
You know, you think about Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, you know, and that riff, you know, he knows he's got to go somewhere with that. It's like, we need 5 minutes of just teenage drama here.
The band wraps a huge, sticky web of classic rock riffs around Finn's epic tales of suburban kids at loose ends in the upper Midwest. You can hear traces of The Boss, Thin Lizzy, Billy Joel, not exactly the influences you'd expect from a guy who says The Replacements are still his favorite band.
This is 88, 89. There's no alternative rock radio that I could get in my car radio. So I listened to KQRS, which was classic rock radio in Minneapolis. And, you know, all the hours you spent in your car, because at that age you're just trying to do anything but be home. You know, so you really, at very least, get a subconscious appreciation of classic rock or a knowledge of it. And what you find as an adult is you hear all these classic rock songs and somehow you've figured out you know all the words to it. You know exactly where the change is going. And it just becomes kind of a ground zero for music.
Music and lyrics. In Finn's case, lots of lyrics. His encyclopedic knowledge of rock and pop culture pours out of his mouth in a steady stream of references. Journey, Prince's New Power Generation, Nina Simone, Scandal, and that's all in one verse from the band's first album. On the new record, classic rock remains the musical backdrop, but Finn's songs overlap and wind around each other in an album-length narrative about the fall from grace and eventual redemption of a prodigal daughter named Holly, short for Hallelujah.
She said I was seeing double for 3 straight days after I got born again. It felt strange, but it was nice and peaceful, and it really pleased me to be around so many people. Of course, half of them were visions, half of them were friends from going through the program with me.
Over the course of Separation Sunday, Holly careens between parties and catechism classes, colliding with soccer players, skaters, deacons, and drug dealers. Behind these 42 minutes of teenage drama, guitarist Tad Kubler's classic riffs deliver a kind of catharsis.
Music for a lot of people is a real, there's a lot of guidance, there's a lot of hope, and I think that a lot of people use music that way, I mean, as an emotional tool as well, which I think, obviously, the church is that for a lot of people, too.
That's right, the church, with a big C. Craig Finn grew up in a devout Catholic family, and Catholicism takes a prominent role in shaping the new album. Finn says that drugs and rock and roll, while essential ingredients in teenage rebellion, are simply part of a recipe that fuels the drama of this record.
the Catholicism that's represented on the record, it has more to do with the traditions and the where it fits in culturally with these people being raised Catholic and having this conservative side to them as they go out and party and sin and, you know, explore. So it isn't a real heavy religious thing. It's more just like the church as sort of a foundation and where it fits in their lives.
Church, drugs, and rock and roll exist on equal footing. Finn and company clearly have a great deal of affection for the ostentatious, overblown scope of classic rock, much as Finn does for his own Catholic upbringing. But neither one is sacred. Holly isn't saved solely because she's a Catholic and isn't condemned just because she's a screw-up who loves rock and roll. Critic Jessica Hopper says somehow the band holds these disparate elements together.
The magic of the whole study is the dichotomy between almost, you know, and I mean this in the best possible way, the dumbness of the big classic rock with the elaborate, ornate, almost literary aspect of the lyrics, that it's so literate with something that's so last call bar rock.
Enough to log your candle party. That's a party at the Dead End Alley. Yeah, he told him what to celebrate. And I met William Butler Yeats. Sunday night dance party, summer 1988. At first I thought it might be William Blake.
It's almost as though the band can't help but sound the way it does, even though the musicians have long since left the Midwest for New York.
We're not trying to be a retro band. We're not trying to be a cover band. We're not trying to be a 70s band. We've worked all this in as just basic rock and roll. I think of it as classic rock with a small C.
The formula seems to be working. Earlier this year, the Hold Steady landed on the cover of the Village Voice, and the band just sold out two shows at New York's Bowery Ballroom. Tad Kubler and Craig Finn say they're often pleasantly surprised by the folks who show up for their concerts.
In talking to some of the people after the show, it's like, there are some people there that were born in 1984, so they've never known Van Halen with David Lee Roth.
But, you know, there's a lot of guys that are coming up to me that are like 35, 36 years old and say, I haven't bought a record in 5 years. I haven't been to a show in 4 years. My wife and I, we got a sitter for the kids tonight, and we're not going to work tomorrow. We're going to have a good time. And what we're basically doing is, Tad's 33?
Yeah.
I'm 33?
No, 32.
You're 32? We're making music that we'd like to hear.
It'll give people something to think about, too, while they're pumping their fists and pounding a beer in the backs of the bars, which is exactly where the Hold Steady will be this fall. Jacob Gans, NPR News.
Hey, William Butler Yeats! All the Irish seem wired last time.
You can hear songs from the Hold Steady, complete with footnotes explaining the lyrics, at our website, npr.org.
That cigarette's what it's supposed to be on.